The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
In true Chewy fashion, right before we turn on our microphones, he goes, when it comes to working out, how long can I wear these shorts before I have to wash them?
What, do you smell something?
Do I smell something? What, am I heart is smelling? Of course I smell something.
What is it?
Wear it once, wear it twice, one of three times. And when... What prompted the question to myself?
You start to smell them a little bit?
Not smell, they're a little dirty.
What do you mean by dirty?
It's B.O. The valet must have had B.O.
Can't be. Nobody has B.O. like this.
Jerry, it's B.O.
But the whole car smells.
Like some sweat stains or other types of stains?
I don't know what that is.
Because the other type of stains, probably, you know, throw them in there.
Well, that's only with the whites. The whites are definitely too. And you have to look at the backside to be like, all right, yeah.
So when somebody has B.O., the O usually stays with the B. Once the B leaves, the O goes with it.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
We are 32 and a half hours away from your Green Bay Packers being on the football field.
You excited?
Good math.
Are you excited? I don't know how we're going to watch it, but are you excited?
Well, so that's part of the complication.
Yes.
I should probably just look and scroll through my YouTube TV right now to figure out if Ion TV is part of YouTube TV. But if you have Spectrum, if you have DirecTV, Ion's easy to find. If you have an antenna, so that is one thing that I threw on or purchased on Amazon for like $20. So I know I'm going to be able to watch the game. Or you can stream it, Packers.com. Desktop only, can't do it on mobile devices.
Can you AirDrop it?
I think you're referring to like the screen mirroring.
Yes.
But you could screen mirror from your computer, but not your mobile phone.
Correct.
Why?
That's, I don't know, man. NFL's got complicated rules.
Wow.
I don't follow it. I just know, I read the articles, and I relay that information to you.
So if you have Spectrum, you're safe.
If you have Spectrum, you're safe. DirecTV, you're safe. If you have an antenna, you're safe. Channel 55.
What about the ticket?
What do you mean, the ticket?
The NFL ticket.
Oh, that's only like regular season.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I don't. I guess I've never had the ticket. I don't know if it applies to preseason games or not.
Okay.
But you would need YouTube TV in order to have the ticket. And chances are, if you have the ticket, like the local games are always blocked out.
For everyone who's doing the whole cutting the cord thing, not paying for, just get an antenna. I've used one now for 2 years.
Apparently, David telling me Ion is on YouTube TV. So there
it
you
is.
Go.
Okay. I don't know if I have it on mine. Because I get every city's news. But I think Milwaukee, I don't know, I'll have to check, doesn't have, it just has Fox, ABC, sure. NBC, CBS.
Yeah, because I'll be honest, and I'll be honest with David, who tweeted, just texted in 800-990-3776, that Ion is on YouTube TV.
Well, then you're safe.
I have no idea what Ion is. I have no idea what Ion airs. I have not been searching out Ion ever until, okay, now I have to watch the Green Bay Packers.
I think it's like Andy Griffith show.
Okay.
Newhart.
Sure.
And some things
of the
like that.
Some of the old replays.
How much are you going to watch? Most of it?
We'll see. I mean, at least a half. Because what's interesting about this year's team, Chew, is we've gotten to the point very quickly with the Green Bay Packers, where I'm sure there are some positional battles going on for roster spots 52 and 53.
Mm-hmm.
But those don't seem to matter the way they kind of mattered last year, right? Like everything with this team, because we thought they were in a rebuild.
Yeah.
Turns out it was a very quick rebuild and soft reset.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, like all those, you know, fifth cornerback, fourth tight end, what are they doing here? That doesn't matter as much to me as because we're starting to establish like a pecking order with the wide receivers. Like that is my number one bullet of when the number one offense is out there, what wide receivers are out there with that number one unit? I think that is the number one thing I am going to be paying attention to. Not necessarily how well Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs play, but when the number one unit is out there, who are the wide receivers they're featuring? Is Dontavian Wicks an afterthought the way he was at family night?
Well, one thing that's got to stop are the interceptions. 17 interceptions in 13 practices?
Yeah.
That's sloppy. That's a lot. And I get it because they're so used to going up against a defense that they've known for the past 3 years. Now you're throwing in something different and something aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're playing against a sit back, give everything underneath, don't give everything over the top, that's easy in 7-on-7. And it's kind of easy in team because it's not full-blown pass rush. But now you throw in a little aggressiveness here, safety coming up, disguise. I get the 17 interception, but that's a lot. That's a lot. So that's got to stop.
Sure.
You're not concerned?
I'm not that concerned about that. And again, if the starters go out there and play three possessions without a turnover, am I going to go, oh, everything's cured? Like, I don't know if necessarily how they play. Unless they end up playing a half, then I'm going to take more into
that. They're not going to play that.
They're not going to play a half.
No. So what do you need to see? I need to see one drive. Field goal's fine. 60 yards. Take them out.
Sure.
Now, if you see a 3-and-out, what if you see 2 3-and-outs? Will you be concerned then?
Maybe, because they're going up against the Browns number twos, because the Browns aren't playing
their
starters.
Yeah, they're not playing anybody. Yeah. I mean, numbers are going to be important. It's going to kind of tell the story. And I want to ask Jason, if this is a college class, and the games are the final exam for kickers, how much weight is that going to go in, you know? Because I would say Joseph is ahead right now.
Oh, I think Joseph's clearly ahead right now.
Clearly?
Yeah.
Clearly.
4 kicks is a lot of kicks, man. He's 4. They've kicked the same number of times, and he's made 4 more.
That's a lot?
That's a lot. That's a high percent. Like, at this point where they haven't had, you know, 100 kicks.
Yes.
Like, percentage points, it's a lot.
What if Carlson makes up those 4 kicks in games? I mean, how weighted is the game as opposed to practice? How much would you say? 60%?
It depends. Like if Carlson misses a 34-yard extra point,
in
the game, and you know, Joseph misses a 54-yard field goal in the game. Those aren't equal. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but flip it. Flip it around.
Okay.
Joseph misses a 34. Carlson, say he makes the 54. I mean, how weighted is that going to be?
But it's just one kick.
I know, but still,
I think it's weighted a little bit.
It's a game situation.
Sure.
It's not on a Nitschke field.
It's weighted a little bit, I would say.
I think it's weighted more than a little.
I can't.
Well, that's why I want to ask Jason.
I don't want to put anything over in this sample size. The Browns, by the way, are playing some starters, but Deshaun Watson is not going to be playing. Their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, has declined to list who is going to and not going to play in the game. So it's going to be a mishmash, right?
Yeah.
So it's just going to be it's going to be very difficult, I think, to really get anything out of this defense. Like, if Jameis Winston throws an interception, like, it's almost expected at
this point. That's what
Jameis does. You know, I'm not going to get overly excited if Jameis Winston drops back and throws a pick in the first quarter tomorrow, because that's what Jameis Winston does.
Aren't you interested to see the defense?
Not really.
Yeah, but it's different. A 3-4 is a lot different than a 4-3.
But it's not really true, because they're playing nickel 75% of the time.
I know, but still.
I'm more excited to see who is out there versus how they play.
Cleveland runs the ball a lot too, in NFL terms.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But who knows? I mean, if it's not their regular guys out there, if it's not their regular offensive line, it's hard to, unless you have ones versus ones, which is going to be apparently some sort of mix of ones for Cleveland. It's hard to get a good gauge of what exactly you're looking at.
Are you interested in the backup quarterback position?
Not even a little bit.
Wow.
But who cares?
I know who cares, but it's something to watch.
It's Sean Clifford.
Then why watch the game? Why are you watching the game? Tell me.
So first half, I just told you, I want to see, A, the kicking. I want to see who's out there with the wide receivers. I want to know, is Dontavian Wicks becoming an afterthought like he was on Family Night? I am curious about the kicking competition. I am curious to see who's out there next to Xavier McKinney at safety.
I got a lot of stuff. I want to see Marshawn Lloyd. I want to see Marshawn Lloyd. If Marshawn Lloyd beats out A.J. Dillon.
Which doesn't look like it's happening right now.
No, but if he does, I mean, how much is the game weighted in that position? Are they keeping A.J. Dillon around because of his salary and he's cheap?
I mean, that's certainly a part of it.
If he gets beat out, do they get rid of him?
But again, like if A.J. Dillon doesn't get as many snaps and Marshawn Lloyd ends up getting 15 carries or whatever, whatever, man, cool. I don't think, because that's telling me the coaches aren't waiting this very much. I don't know how much the coaches are waiting this.
What are they waiting?
Unless you're giving equal playing time in equal situations, which is so hard to do because you can't control what the other team is doing.
What are they basing it on? Because they don't. I mean, live takes on a whole different meaning today than when I play.
100%. You know what I think? And we can ask Jason about this. But in terms of importance, I think the most important things in terms of evaluation for today's NFL are the joint practices. I think it goes joint practices, preseason games, regular practices. In terms of,
because they're going one-on-one, ones against ones. You're not interested in Stokes Ballantyne?
Stokes is going to be out there.
Which one is it? Is it Ballantyne or Valentine?
Valentine's the one that was competing with Stokes, and it appears that Stokes
has
taken that.
Are you saying a B?
That.
Is there a Val. D on the end? Okay.
Like February 14th.
Yes, the famous holiday.
What is that?
Oh, boy.
What do you mean, what is that?
Lincoln's birthday?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. February 14th. Yep. Oh, Valentine's
Day. Chewy was right. Holy Chewy was right.
It's Friday, okay?
I know.
And I came bearing gifts, so get off my back.
You did come bearing gifts. I guess you could take back. But you did get to hang out with your neighbor, the Blammer, for the first time in God knows how long.
Yeah.
Because you've had a parade of people coming through the property.
And he brought presents.
He did.
It's good. You know
Hold
why it's
up,
good?
Babe. You got it right there.
And you know why it's good? Because he finally listened to me.
Okay, so what I am holding, for those who are not watching on the YouTube stream, which you need to be if you're not, I am holding an ear of corn. Now, the Blammer, Chewy's neighbor, has had many a nickname. Blammer, Chernobyl Corn. And the reason why he had the nickname of Chernobyl Corn, Chewy, is...
Because when you, in prior years, you'd pull back the husk.
Yeah.
I mean, corn should be universal throughout the cob, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
His corn would have kernel, four spots missing, kernel, like he grew it in Chernobyl. I think maybe we can do it after the break. I think we peel one back to see how it looks.
We can certainly do that.
Are you all right with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be fine. We do that at the grocery store. Make sure it's good in there.
Just kind of take a look, make sure.
Okay.
So you did bring this because you hung out with the Blammer.
Yes.
But you vouched for it. You texted me and Joshy last night saying, hey, do you guys want some corn?
Yes.
It's actually good. Because, again, when you're offering somebody corn from a guy who you've nicknamed Chernobyl Corn,
yes,
typically that answer would be no.
Well,
so how did he listen to you?
Because he couldn't even get corn last year. The corn wouldn't even come up because the weeds bypassed him. And I've been telling the idiot for years... When you plow the corn under, you have to plant rye because rye will choke out the weeds, right? When ryegrass, it's fine if the rye comes up wild, it won't suck the weeds will suck everything out of there, so we finally did it, and we're going to see how it looks after the break.
So I've heard of that happening to corn before where there's not uniformity of the kernels and there's blank. Is that like a germination problem? Like, What's going on there when that happens?
It's,
do you
it's
know?
It's the weeds. Tell us, especially Farmer Brown. The weeds he would have there were big flowering weeds, and it just, they'll suck all the nutrients out of the ground, and the corn doesn't get enough.
He just chose not to do that portion of the farming?
He's a pseudo farmer. He's a fake farmer. He is the biggest fake farmer you'll ever meet in your life.
As somebody who grew up on a farm, is that offensive to you?
No, because he's an idiot. he is... You know, he's got the tractors. He has all the equipment.
Yeah.
You know the kid who's horrible?
Yeah.
That goes out to football, but he's got the new shoes and the elbow pads and the lineman gloves and the neck roll and all that, but he's that's him when it comes to farming.
So he looks the part.
Correct.
But he can't play the part.
Yes. Exactly.
Shout out to Josh and Heartland. So now we're getting conflicting reports. So Josh saying, hey, caught the tail end of your YouTube TV Ion convo, which is, again, not something I thought we would ever be having, but here we are. I too have YouTube TV. The family night game on local channel 55 was there via antenna, but not on YouTube TV Ion. The game tomorrow, not currently listed to be aired on Ion on YouTube TV. However, it is on Telemundo.
Yeah, but it's going to be in Spanish, right?
So that happened the first year I moved to Milwaukee. I had Spectrum. It was Charter at the time, or maybe it was Time Warner at the time, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they were having a carriage dispute with Channel 4. And if you had, again, if you didn't have an antenna and all you had was your Spectrum box, they didn't have Channel 4. They weren't carrying it.
Yeah.
So you had to watch it in Spanish on Telemundo.
So you got to watch it on Telemundo?
No, I've got the antenna. I'm fine.
Okay.
I've got the antenna.
YouTube TV does list Ion as an option, but it does not appear that they are broadcasting it per what Josh and Heartland is saying.
Yes.
So the channel exists on YouTube, but you won't be watching Packers if you turn it on during the preseason game.
Okay.
That's a lot of work, Joshy, for a preseason game.
But if you have Spectrum, you're fine,
yes,
right?
Yes, Spectrum, you're fine. Okay. DirecTV, you're fine.
We're good.
This is a specific YouTube TV problem.
Get the antenna.
It's $20 on Amazon.
We've used it. We've moved it places. It works everywhere.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's fantastic. And the picture is great. And part of the reason I did it, because I know YouTube TV has the lag.
Yeah.
And I'm watching a Packer game. I don't want that lag.
Yeah. Don't want to be surfing.
I got it.
Getting
spoiled. We're in the regular season. It just stinks when you're at the lake and you're outside. Because people start cheering in the neighborhood and I'm like, damn it.
Or we start texting you.
Yeah.
Good point.
The strangest instance of that, before we go to break here to talk to Jason, is when Game of Thrones and Jon Snow, that first episode when he's up at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give a spoiler to all those people watching, but there's an event that happened at the beginning of one of the seasons that we were behind because our internet was slow. And we heard our entire apartment complex screaming at the TV as the event happened. So we all knew something was coming.
Yeah.
As the credits were rolling, and we're all like,
"I've been there."
Yeah, it was a tough place to be.
I've been there,
which was odd because sports, that's normal. If you're if you're in a neighborhood during a Packers game and someone's ahead of you, you'll hear screaming down the road.
But the problem is my delay can be 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Or it can be 7 minutes. I prefer the 7 minutes.
Why would you prefer
Because
that?
You don't know. You know something good's going to happen eventually, but when it's 4 seconds, you're like, right? I would rather have the 7 minutes as opposed to 4 seconds.
You're crazy.
I know I am.
You're crazy.
That's fine.
Absolutely insane. Alan Kohler saying, I love to hear Chewy talking about covered crops in the morning. We're off to a great start on a Dude Friday. Jason Wilde joins us next to break down the Packers, the Browns, preseason game number one. That's coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde joining us on a Friday. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. Welcome to Dude Friday.
Good morning, dudes.
Hello, dude.
You're giving me such different voices than I'm.
Well, I didn't want to use Mr. Norwal again, which I thought about. So I choked, yeah, Jason. I choked. I'm sorry.
That was well executed. All right, guys, what's up?
What is the number one thing you are watching for in tomorrow night's game?
That Jordan Love doesn't get hurt.
Jason, you're anti-playing starters, huh?
I'm definitely anti-playing quarterbacks. Like, here's the thing that I don't get. And I look, you have forgotten, and Lord knows you've forgotten a lot. You've forgotten more about football than I know. Mm-hmm. I get that. But the part that I don't understand is that if you're not going to really run your stuff anyway, then how much usefulness is there to putting your best players at risk? What I'm saying is hey, if you're going to get out there and you're going to run real stuff, so you can get ready to run it against the Eagles, great. But we all know you're not going to do that because you don't want the Eagles to have it on film. So you're, you know, this idea, well, we'll do, you know, we'll have him get the ball out of his hand quickly, you know, throw some quick passes, run the ball some, and get him out of the game. It just feels like you're playing him out of obligation more so than out of there's really a ton of benefit. I know there's value in playing in an actual game. And, you know, even LaFleur admitted that there's really a lot of value in getting ready to play. And I know both McCarthy and LaFleur have done this trick where they decide everyone's going to suit up and you go through warm-ups and you go through your pregame routine and then they tell you you're not playing. And maybe that's what they'll decide here. But Rodgers never played in a preseason game while LaFleur was here. And with McCarthy, it was diminishing numbers year by year by year. And I tell this story all the time, but I think the 2015 Packers might have been a Super Bowl team. I believe that. They had gotten that bitter, bitter meltdown loss in Seattle. And they still had largely the same team coming back. Rodgers was coming off his second MVP. And I'm in a taxi cab, having flown in the day of the game to Pittsburgh, panicking that I'm not going to be there before kickoff. I walk into the press box as the ball is being kicked off to start the game. And then shortly thereafter, I see their entire season come crashing down because the best wide receiver in football, which is what I believe Jordy Nelson was, has torn his ACL in a preseason game. So I understand I am a worrier by nature. I am a play-it-safe guy by nature. But that impacted me just like it impacted the organization. That was when they changed their philosophy about preseason games. So that too, is where I come from on this.
Okay. Jason, let's talk kickers. So if training camp for the kickers is a college course and the games are a final exam, how much is that going to count towards their decision in the next couple of weeks on who they're keeping?
Yeah, I think a lot, but certainly not only the final exam, right? Like, you still turn in homework.
Sure.
Throughout the semester.
So 60%, Jason? 70%? Yeah,
Well, here's the problem with it's a great analogy. I think Nortman did a similar one when I talked to him. But here's the problem with that. How much is the exam going to have on it? Like,
yeah,
you got three kickers. What each one of them are going to get? You know, I mean, how is LaFleur going to be able to, for instance, say, all right, it's fourth and two. Under normal circumstances, I'd want to get work on our short yardage from the 32-yard line. But instead, I'm going to kick it and have it be a 50-yarder. And how many times can you kind of finagle what you're doing to get your kickers more kickoffs or attempts, I should say, field goals, extra points, et cetera. So I just don't know. That's great if we say, okay, it's gonna be 50% of your grade. But in three preseason games with three kickers now, how many kicks can you get them all? Because I don't think you want to be putting 50% of the grade into something where guys only get like four questions on the final exam each, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a very good question. I just don't have a good answer for it. And you know, they're watching these guys kick every day. And I would assume that while the results certainly matter, I would also assume that Bisaccia and Goody and everybody else is watching to say, okay, which one of these guys looks like he is kicking it well, if that makes sense. Like, we believe that he has his process and his swing and everything else in a place where he will be successful, as opposed to maybe another kicker who is kicking is all over the map and he's inconsistent with his form.
Is there anything, Jason, that I can take away from tomorrow's game as a fan? Because initially I was thinking, okay, I'm curious to see when the number one offense is out there, who are the wide receivers, since Dontavian Wicks seemed to be in a distant fourth during family night last week. But if they kind of pull a, you know, the maneuver you were describing earlier where everybody warms up and then right before the game, not every starter is going to play, can I even get any information from that?
I don't think there's a ton of information to be gleaned when it comes to starters, okay, especially in today's game. Now, as Chewy will attest, I think there was a ton to be gleaned back in his day when you would play a couple series the first game, most if not all of the first half in the second game, and then play into the third quarter, mm-hmm. coming out and making adjustments. Like that, I was laser focused on the starters. Now, like I was saying earlier, look, LaFleur, when I asked him, you know, you're the coach of the entire team, not just the offense, so how do you view it when the defense outplays your offense on family night? And he punted on the question and instead responded by saying how they kept things vanilla because it was being live streamed. Like, if they are as vanilla as they say, I can't make that graded judgments off of what they do. It doesn't sound like, for example, that, you know, I talk all the time about 09 when Dom came in and these guys were new to a 3-4 and he ran his stuff, like not the most exotic stuff, but still a lot of his stuff. And you got to see the fire zone blitzes in action. That they're not going to do a lot of Halfley's playbook. And that's the other thing that I would be extremely interested in is how does this defense function, right? So would you as a fan. So to me, this is always about who are the guys that aren't top line guys that pop. You know, I wrote about Brenton Cox for today's paper. Like, Brenton Cox to me is a perfect example of a preseason player. He's fourth, fifth on the depth chart at defensive end. They're not going to play Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary a whole heck of a lot. He's going to play a ton. What's he made of? What's he going to do? And who are the guys that are going to pop out and you're going to say, okay, this guy, they got to give him more reps in practice this week because he showed us something during the game. The only thing that I will say among the air quotes starters that I am very curious about, yesterday Sean Ryan was supposed to be the starting right guard. He comes out with the number one offensive line, gets a false start, gets pulled for Jacob Monk, their rookie draft pick from Duke, and then he doesn't play with the ones the rest of the practice. They put him as the number two center, which is where Monk would have been. And so here's a guy with Jordan Morgan sidelined with a shoulder injury that has a chance to at least, if not seize the right guard job, certainly say, hey, you can't just give this to the first-round pick. I'm not giving this up without a fight. And then his practice goes yesterday the way it did. I'm eager to see how much he plays and how well he plays on Saturday.
Jason, is there a real competition at the backup quarterback position?
I don't think so. I mean, certainly Michael Pratt has had some good moments. And it's not like I can say, well, they're not going to have a rookie backing them up because they had a rookie backing them up last year. But I do think there is something about Sean Clifford that they really like. I know he had some struggles early in camp when he was with the ones, but I think he's settled in. I think he's actually had
a pretty good, you know, week and a half since Love's been back. So it's not his job, but I think it's clearly his job to lose, and I think it would take a pretty fair amount of poor play for him to lose it.
Jason, certainly appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing more from you and Tausch coming up in 90 minutes.
All right, fellas, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Look, the weekend's coming up, and you want to make sure your freezer is stocked with Palermo's Pizza. Because chances are you're going somewhere with the family. You're going out, you're doing something, you're going to get back. Man, I don't want to have to make, you know, big dinner or get something. But you still want something that tastes great. And that's where Palermo's comes in. Because when it comes to Palermo's, they have so many brands under their umbrella. Like Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian. You are going to find a pizza that suits your appetite. And since they've been doing it here in Wisconsin for over 60 years, you know Palermo's knows what they're doing when it comes to premium frozen pizza. So find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Load up with Palermo's like I do, because Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
always love it when Good Karma Brands founder, CEO, host of Sunday Karma joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
El Presidente!
I have a lot to say to you both.
Hold on.
Oh, wow.
Hold on. I wanted to get this right out of the gate because I know you so well. Which station makes you more money, ESPN Cleveland or ESPN Milwaukee? Because that will determine who you are rooting for tomorrow.
No. It has to be what team we work with, which is the Browns. So I would be rooting for the Browns if I cared about the preseason, but I'm not going to be rooting for anyone because I don't care. I'm going to be rooting for the Brewers because they have a 10-game homestand. I've been listening to you guys the whole show. You haven't mentioned Jackson Churio once. They just swept the Atlanta Braves. They haven't won a series at home since June, and they have the Dodgers and Guardians coming to town. But first, it's the Reds. And this is a massive weekend, and Jackson Churio just went yard twice yesterday. And
regular season doesn't matter.
We're going to get to it, Craig. We're going to get to it, but the Packers play, man. Like, you got to give the people what they want.
You don't care about the Packers game. Gabe, you have
he's right. The
biggest Packers toad.
He's got
you. You put the ribbit in toad,
ribbit.
And you've even said you don't care about anything about this game.
Ribbit.
I feel like I care even less. I feel like I care even less after talking with Jason. Like, the things that I wanted to care about, Jason's like, you probably shouldn't even care about that either.
Dude, and so then the Reds come into town, and then you got two division leaders? Like, this is a massive weekend. But I also want to say Chewy is right. And I know that Chewy is right is one of the favorite sound drops. But it is way better if your TV is 7 minutes behind than 6 seconds behind.
Chewy was right.
Chewy was right.
6 seconds, you know it's coming, but 7 minutes, by then, you don't know. It's almost like the Hasselbeck interception, right? Like, is it going to be on offense? Is it going to be on defense? Like, you have no idea.
Yes.
So by that point, there's been like three or four cheers. So your TV being 7 minutes behind is not an issue at all.
Right.
No, but then you can't interact with any of your friends who are also watching the game. Like, you might as well just throw your phone, like, in the garbage can.
All right. Hold on.
You definitely have to get rid of your phone. Yes.
While I have an ally on the air, pizza and salad, is that a must?
Well, your tuna and tomatoes, like, you're out. Like, tuna and tomato soup? That, like, I heard you and Schefter on that. That made no sense.
I accept that one. It's kind of a loss. It's a win. It's, you know, it's a push. But pizza and salad, right?
Pizza and salad is a great combo. A Caesar salad and a pizza is a great combo. Last night I just heard Gabe talking about Palermo's. I made a Surfer Boy pizza, Harper.
Yeah.
Five friends sleeping over. a surfer boy. That's the good thing about girls. You can make like one pizza and it serves like an entire like village.
Yeah. I was about to say five boys, Craig. You'd probably need six pizzas.
No, Chewy with his two boys. I feel like they would each eat a pizza.
Yeah.
But we had one surfer boy pizza. I happened to go buttered noodles and watermelon, but a Caesar salad if I wasn't lazy and if I had the ingredients. Absolutely. Pizza and salad's a great combo.
All right, where are you at as far as training camp to this point? Because I don't know how I feel. I don't feel great about the offense, the way they've been performing. And I mean, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid like of the defense yet.
No, I mean, I think the only thing was the defense, and I think you're right. Like, I feel like I've learned more from you, so I'm probably like reciting back like what you would have said, which is like, the defense is great, but, like, of course a defense like this is going to make splashes in the preseason. And if it's good in the first 6-7 weeks, I don't even know if that matters, because then does that give people the time to figure it out? So I think it's exciting to have a defense that's going to be different, because I feel like we haven't had a defense that's different in, like, a decade. So I think that part of it's excited, but I don't care about, you know, training camp. I'm with Jason. Like, I don't want there to be injuries, but I also do believe that, like, chemistry matters. So I do believe that, like, them practicing together matters. I don't know how much I believe them playing together matters. When Rodgers was there, I thought they needed to play more with him because I thought they were so, like, in awe of him. But I don't think it matters, like, what happens in the month of August for the Packers.
So do you think that those joint practices are probably the most important thing at this point in the NFL?
Yes, I think those matter. And I think, like, I don't know, I think, like, those roster decisions really matter. Like, I mean, just think about, like, you know, when the Packers pick up, like, random middle linebackers and random cornerbacks who they pick up as free agents who have ended up being Pro Bowlers within the last 5 years. Like, teams end up cutting guys that are good enough not only to start in the NFL, but to star in the NFL. So I do think, like, these training camp decisions are big. I just don't care about them. Like, I just can't, like, you know, I can't get to that point. But I do think, like, these decisions matter, and I do think those joint practices are the best way to figure it out.
All right, well, let's stay within your markets here. Let's go ESPN Chicago. Have you watched Hard Knocks, and where do you stand on the Bears? Because I watch Hard Knocks, Craig, and it's tough to watch because it's the Bears, but I'm not going to say they full-blown scare me, but I do have
Chewy's attention.
I do have an eyeball following what's going on down there.
By the way, isn't Hard Knocks the best at making you think every team's going to win the Super Bowl?
Like, really,
I mean,
good.
If you went, I mean, think about the Jets last year. I mean, think about, I mean, that the Jets were like, I mean, I don't know if they were guaranteed back-to-back Super Bowls, but I think you kind of felt that way.
Yeah, but if Aaron doesn't go down, it's a different season. I'm not saying they win the Super Bowl, but they're relevant, I believe, at the end of the year.
And I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that because if no one's, like, saying that, hey, Zach Wilson is in any sort of meaningful conversation – and the Jets were still, like, reasonably competitive because that defense was so good. But, no, I think the Bears are going to be good because you just don't usually have a team with the first pick in the draft that was as good as they were last year. I mean, they had the same record as the Green Bay Packers in all of their games in which they did not play head-to-head against the Green Bay Packers last year. So I feel like people think – there's, like, some huge difference between these two teams, and I don't know that there is. I don't think you'd expect Caleb Williams to be Jordan Love in his first year, so I think that's the big advantage the Packers are going to have this year.
Yeah, but can he be C.J. Stroud?
No. I mean, that's not fair, right? Hasn't, like...
Why?
I mean, has one quarterback done that in the history of the NFL, or two?
So many question marks about Stroud coming out, and he didn't perform well in the reactionary test that they do at the combine. Matter of fact, he did poorly. And who's the quarterback in Carolina?
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young did very, very well. And it's clear that Stroud should have been the number one pick in the draft.
That's the S2 testing he's referring to.
Yeah.
It's a fraud.
Yeah, and the Texans were like, no one felt like the Texans had like this great supporting cast, and we didn't know that Tank Dell before he got hurt was going to be like the level receiver he was and all that. And so that came so out of nowhere, but I just think you can't. I mean, that's like taking the one best all-time anything and then say the guy the next year has to be that. So I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, but in talking,
I think without being close to that good, you know, they could get to 9-8, you know, 10-7, but this division's also really tough, right? Because they have to play the Packers twice. They have to play the Lions twice. So it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, but in talking to Shefty said he's a generation. People around the league believe he's a generational player.
But Peyton Manning was a generational player.
Yeah, and
player,
he stunk. And I know. He threw 28 picks.
Yeah, he wasn't that good.
But his supporting cast was terrible. They were awful. I mean, I know we lost to him, but the offense did their job.
You guys scored 40-plus points,
yeah.
Whatever it was.
Wait, but that is, I mean, and that is interesting. I mean, they have done it, the analytics on it. He not only is the best supporting cast for a quarterback picked as the number one overall pick, but he is the best supporting cast of offensive skill position players of any quarterback drafted in the first round in NFL history. Now, I don't know enough about the offensive line to say like where that fits in, but you add Keenan Allen to what they had, and you know, and a number one draft pick receiver to DJ Moore, and solid running back, solid tight end. I mean, you're right. I mean, the weapons are real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I understand why you can be a little scared.
Before we let you go, Craig, did you watch Team USA Serbia at all yesterday? Because I feel like this is my only chance to kind of gush about what Team USA did coming from behind.
So, you know, I watched pretty much the whole second half. I am the biggest USA basketball fan. I have so much respect for the players who go and do it. And Chewy may disagree with me on this because he would know much better than me. But I think it is one of the biggest no-win situations in sports. If the USA wins gold, it's like, oh, of course, that's what you were supposed to do. But, like, the world is getting better and better. And so there's almost, like, only downside. Like, oh, you won the gold, of course you're supposed to. So I have so much respect for these guys, especially in 2021. Kevin Durant, if he did not go, and if Jrue Holiday, fresh off of the NBA Finals, did not go, there is no chance the U.S. wins gold. So I have such respect for these guys who go. And yesterday was incredible. Kevin Durant hitting 2 massive shots.
Who cares?
LeBron James.
Yeah. Why the who cares?
Triple double.
They should go back to all amateurs in Olympic sports. That way it means something.
Well, then nobody's watching.
Triple double.
Yes, they are. If you took... Craig, if everyone had to go to amateurs and you took college kids that weren't professional, it'd be much more entertaining.
No, they're dominating. Like, France only has a chance because they have Wemby.
Yeah, but Craig's right. The only way you're going to talk about the U.S. basketball team is if they lose, if they don't win gold. But,
I mean, I'm telling you, the second half of that game, watching them come, especially the fourth quarter, Craig, was just
so
fantastic
intense.
Basketball. It was
so
great.
Intense.
You'll never have another 1980.
36 points.
You'll never have amazing. Another 1980. U.S. hockey team beating Russia.
Well, no, but that's in every sport. Like,
but
you're never going to replicate that
what
because,
you don't
like,
understand is yes, you could have yesterday if Serbia beat the USA. That would have been exactly that. That would have been Serbia's miracle on ice to have. You know,
no.
Nikola
yeah, but we're also not in the middle of a Cold War with
Bob
Serbia.
Don
like that's
Donovich.
Yet.
You're not going to be able to recreate those like political things that also went into the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. Yeah. But I mean, if somebody beats Team USA, yeah, that's their miracle on
but
ice.
But not
that's
Serbia.
Their...
Come on, they have the MVP
there
of the league.
There would have been a movie.
No, in Bogdanovich.
There would have been a movie about it. Playing against LeBron James, Steph Curry,
Kevin Durant.
Like, I mean, that there would have been movies
Reggie's
about
Prayer
that
would make
been...
more money than that movie.
Not in Serbia.
Not in Serbia.
By the way, the Marcus, we will have Greg Marcus on, and he will give us the movie numbers on Marcus Cinema's Serbia as going for gold.
What are they serving in the bistro over there?
In Serbia?
Ooh.
Borscht, I bet.
I don't know. Free popcorn on Tuesdays, even in Serbia?
Pizza and salad? Tuna fish and tomato soup?
Yeah. No chance.
Craig, we can all agree that if Chewy ran a restaurant, it would be the worst menu of all time, right?
Oh, my God, yes. But I think there'd be something different about it, and people like different.
That's fair.
I think it would be terrible, but I think it might be successful.
So bad it's good. It, like, completes the circle.
We'd have Chernobyl corn.
We would have Chernobyl corn on the menu. Craig, we certainly appreciate the time. Thanks for jumping on, man.
Thanks, guys.
Craig Karmazin joins us every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And you can tune into Thanalysis Show each and every week, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Ntetikumbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversation. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, the chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find Thanalysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to Thanalysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. Thanalysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The time has come. With a twisted smile. If you are a regular of the show, you know that Chewy has a neighbor we call the Blammer. Chewy has drinks with the Blammer each and every Thursday when he's up here in Wisconsin. He even does virtual drinks with the Blammer when Chewy's down in Florida. One of the other alternate nicknames, because Chewy is the king of nicknames, of the Blammer is Chernobyl corn, because the corn he grows looks like it was grown in Chernobyl. However, the Blammer has taken Chewy's advice, and apparently the corn that I hold in my hand right now is supposed to be good. Chewy texted me and Josh asking if we wanted some of the corn. Like, fresh sweet corn? Hell yeah, man. Like, I am in. Love throwing corn on the grill. Did a corn roast for the River West 24 a couple of weeks ago. My friends love corn. Yes, sign me up for corn. But we are about to find out if this corn is indeed good enough. Are you ready, Chew? Because I feel like your reputation is on the line here. You vouched for this corn.
I did.
All right, we got to peel it back. Take some time here. Peeling back the corn. Come on, here we go. And the corn is...
peeling.
Man, this is a lot
That's probably good that there's a lot of husk.
Yeah, a lot of husk. That is good. That's a good sign. I like what I'm seeing so far. The corn looks... it's a B.
It's a B, okay.
It's a B. I mean, you kind of see what we got going on at the top. But the rest of it, Joshy, I think if you avoid the top, we can cut that off. I think this corn, again, tough to see through the silk. Again, the top not very good that we have here. Let's get that on the camera. Yeah, you see there's a lot of kernels missing toward the top here. But the rest of it, that looks like good sweet corn, Chew.
All right, you're going to have to report back.
That looks like pretty lush.
Report back on Monday. How are you going to cook it?
I will probably throw it on the grill.
So soak it in water?
Soak it in water.
Okay.
And then
throw
it on the grill.
Most likely go the boil method because we don't have a grill currently.
Okay. And then what do you put on the corn? Obviously butter.
Butter and salt.
Hey, you can't put salt. Salt's bad for you.
Yeah, but Lowry's is salt, and that's what you put on.
Shut up.
It's seasoned salt.
I knew I was going to walk into it, but I thought, he's an agitator.
Yeah.
He's a complete agitator.
Absolutely.
It was less than an hour ago that you were singing the praises of Lowry's seasoned salt to me.
I mean, in fairness, Lowry's is great. Yeah. Lowry's is fantastic.
I certainly don't have a great memory.
So that's what you did? You put Lowry's on?
I do. Not every piece of corn. I usually just put pepper and then... I mean, I usually have five.
You go pepper?
Yeah, just straight butter and pepper.
Okay. Well, because I usually just do butter and salt, but butter and Lowry's.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I love Lowry's on just about anything.
Try it.
We do, my wife and I do like a grilled sweet potato that I cut into take the potato, slice it, kind of long ways. a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of Lowry's, throw that on the grill.
Yeah. Whew. We'll try it on corn. It's very good.
That sounds
better than salt, too, right, Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's better for you, apparently.
I do like the seasoned salt on there, but you can't go wrong with just classic butter and salt. The best is when you go to the place where they have the actual, like, drawn butter, and you just dunk it right
dunk
in
it.
There.
That's the best.
Oh, that's what we did for the corn
roast.
Yeah,
that's, I
we
love
just
a
melted
good corn
a bunch
roast.
Of butter and yeah. and yeah, just dunk it and just dripping in butter.
Yeah. As fun as the putting it on the stick of butter and spinning it is.
Yeah,
the dunk's the best.
The dunk is the best
because just when you pull it, like the look of it, just full of butter when you pull it out of there.
I'll be having some Sunday at State Fair.
You going back to State Fair?
I haven't gone yet.
Wait, you're going Sunday?
Yeah,
me too.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wait, where was the picture from that you sent us?
Someone sent that to me.
Oh. You had insiders.
Okay. Yeah. Wish you wouldn't have sent us that picture, but, you know, here we are.
It's very disturbing, but they are in the lead as far as outfits.
Packers preseason. Jackson Churio is hot. So much to come. Hour two. It starts in 2 minutes. Jen, give it to you.